Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not already familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Nun. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, and we see a comment. Birchoisov shel Adam, from the way a person formulates his bracha, nikar im talmid chacham hu im lav. He reveals whether he is a Torah scholar, Torah knowledgeable, or not. So we now have a source in the Gemara, Tanaic source. As you can see, it appears in a frame. And throughout the Gemara, we'll be paying attention to the text and nature of the way one phrases his various prayers. The Gemara, Umir b'choysev shel adam nikar im talmud chacham hu im lav. Ketzad, Rebbe Omer, u v'tuvo, hare ze talmud chacham, u mituvo, hare ze bor. If a person says in the Zimun text, Baruch she'ochanu mishalo u mituvo, that's the last expression, he is considered an ignoramus. If he says, now, umituvo would mean that from his goodness we continue, we exist. From. The word ubituvo mean through his goodness. What's the difference? So, if you say mituvo, it indicates that you are... As Rashi says, "Shememayit b'tagmulav shalmokom, the mashma dover muat kedei chayim," that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a little bit from His goodness. He doesn't give us all His goodness; He gives us some of His goodness. That's a denial of goodness that the Kodesh Baruch Hu extends. The Gemara now asks, but is it not so that we find in Psukim words like with a mem? Then the word, the mem, it seemed to indicate to us a moment ago that it's from another, something partial and not complete. Omer le'abai the Rav Dimi, v'oksiv umi birkoscha yivorech beis abdecha li'olam. That's from your blessings, you should bless the house of your servant. So the Gemara answers, that pasuk in Shmuel Beis Perek Zayin is a request and not a statement of praise. It's rather a request. And b'she'ela shiny, when it comes to requesting something, one is supposed to request like a poor man standing at the door saying, give me a little bit of something. Hence the mem is very appropriate, indicating the mem being a letter indicating diminishing, partial. And hence, when you ask for something, you don't ask for everything, you ask for a little bit. The Gemara asks, B'sheilo nami hoksiv harchev picho v'maleu, but is it not so that when it comes to asking the Almighty for things, widen your mouth and request, in other words, go for everything, ask for it all. The more answers, Hahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. That's true with regard to one's prayer to Hashem for success in Torah learning. You don't ask for Hashem to enable you to maintain a little bit of Torah. You ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, request of Him to enable you to know all of the Torah and remember everything you learn, not just a little bit. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, b'tuvo chayinu harezet tamad chacham. Here we're going to emphasize the second word, chayinu, and he says if you state it this way, that indicates you are a Torah scholar. You're Torah knowledgeable. However, if you say Chaim, Harei Zebur, that through his goodness, there is life, he is considered an ignoramus. And the reason for that is, Rashi says, because he is excluding himself from the from everything else, from the klal, from the general population of life, indicating that life in general, besides outside of mine, is dependent on the Almighty, but I'm not dependent. So that is a boor. Nahar Beloi, this is the word Nahar Beloi is a reference to a name. It's a shita, Nahar Beloi Masni, Ipcha. They teach the opposite. They say that that Chaim is better because the word Chaim is inclusive of all life on the planet. And hence, it's more of an inclusive expression than Chayinu. The less Hilchasok Nahar Beloi, however, the Gemara rules unlike the Nahar Beloi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and we continue with more attention to text. Nevorech shochanu mishalo. If one says the bracha in this fashion, then harezet tamal chacham. If you say limi shochanu mishalo, hare zu ze bur. The Rashi explains, Nevorech shochanu mishalo, mashma shu yichidi, shakol ochel mishalo. If you say, let us bless the she'ochanu mishalo, you're indicating that the Almighty is the one and only, he is singular, that everyone depends on and benefits from. However, if you say, lemi she'ochanu mishalo, so Rashi explains on this, mashma merubim heim. Let us bless the one from whom we ate. You're indicating, well, we ate from this one. Other people eat from someone else. Ze zon eze, veze zon eze, ulefi dvorav mevarach es balabais. Using this expression, lemi shochan mishlo, it would sound that you're blessing the host from whom you ate, and not the Almighty. The Gemara asks, vo amrinon lemi sheosa lavosenu velonu, as Kol Hanisim O'Elu, do we not have this as part of a prayer text? And we say we thank the Lumi. Here you've got the word Lumi that we do use as part of our text. And just a couple lines before you said that would be an ignoramus. Omale Hosam Mucha Milsa. Ravashi answers that there, in the case of the this text that was just cited, Lumi Shosal Avosenu Velonu, that is clear that you're referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Almighty, and not to some other force. And how is it so clear? Man Ovid Nisi. If in your text here you're saying we want to thank the one Lamisha Osel Avasen Lanu Eskohan Nisim, all of these miracles. Who wrought miracles? Kutsha Brichu. He is the one. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Boruch shochanu mishalo reze tamal chacham. This is the text one should use. Blessed be the one from whom we ate. Boruch, that's she'ochanu mishalo. However, al hamazon shochanu, if one were to say boruch al hamazon shochanu, hareze bur. The note on this, in the margin of the Gemara says, demischazi kema demavorech le lamazon. It looks like you're blessing the food. So one again has to bear in mind that the fine tuning of the text can make all of the difference. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua lo amar an ela b'shlosha. The objection to saying al hamozen shochanu is only when it's a zimun in the context or in the presence of three. The lekoshem shemayim, where there's no name of the Almighty in the Zimun text, Avobasor Diko Shem Shemayim. But when you're in a group of 10 that had eaten together, and the Zimun incorporates the name of Hashem, the Almighty's name, in the Zimun text, Mukha Milsa, then it becomes clear that you're not blessing the food, you're blessing the Almighty Kiddisnan, as we have learned in the Mishnah, Kinyan Shumuvarach Kach Oinin Acharov, as the we saw this in the Mishnah, that the one who initiates the responsive reading, so the responders are to say thusly, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokei Hatzvokos Yoshev Akuvim Al Hamozon Shalchanu. So you can see with our dashed underlining how we have in fact used the expression Al Hamozon Shalchanu, but because we're mentioning the Almighty in this text, it becomes clear, and that we're not praising the food. Echad Asor VeEchad Asor Ribo. When we learned the mission in our previous shiur, we noted that this line seemed to be out of place, because this line is saying something to the contrary of what the context of this in which this line was found. This line is saying whether it be 10 or whether it be 100,000, you'll use the same text in the Zimun. But the Mishnah itself was making distinctions between 10 and 100 and 1,000. In other words, the different number groupings made a difference in the text. And yet this line says, make no difference. So the Gemara raises this question. Ha gufa kasha. This Mishnah is inherently difficult. Amris, you said, Echad asor v'echad asor ribo, almo ki adodi ninu. Whether it be 10 or whether it be 100,000, they are the same. That's what that language means. And then the Mishnah says, Bemea Omer, Be'elef Omer, Be'rib Omer. And notice with our markings, we have three dots, because in each section there is a separate text for a group of 100 versus a group of 1,000 versus a group of 10,000. So how can in the same section of the Mishnah say, well, it makes no difference, when you see clearly it does make a difference? Omer Rav Yosef, lo kashya. Rav Yosef, there's no difficulty in the Mishnah. Ha Rav Yosef Lili, ha Rabbi Akiva. These two opposing indications or expressions in the Mishnah really represent two Tanaic opinions. Those of Rabbi Akiva and of Rabbi Yosi Haglili. The Snan. And here we have the Mishnah, the Tanaic source, Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Lefi Rov HaKol Heim Mevorchim, Shenemar, B'makelos Borchu, Elohim. Rabbi Yosef Glili says that you should make a distinction in the text based on the different numbers in the crowd. And Rabbi Kiva says to the contrary. And you can see, as we go on in the Gemara, this is again a quote from the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Kiva, Ma Motzino Bebeis HaKnesses V'chulei. Is it not so that we find in Shul, when there is the Torah reading, that the same text is used, whether it be a crowd of 10 or a crowd of 10,000? We say, Borchu Es Hashem Hamavoroch. So the Gemara now asks, so Rabbi Akiva, Hai Krod Yerisig Lili Mai Ovidle, what does Rabbi Akiva do with the Pasuk that Rabbi Yossi Haglili cited, in which said Bimakelos Borchu Elokim, which he took to mean that based on the different size of the community, there shall be a different type of bracha. Answer: Miboyalei Lichvistani. Rabbi Akiva uses that pasuk Makelos Borchu Elokim for the following teaching. Hoy Rabbi Meir Omer Minay Shafilu Ubrim Shemei Imon Omru Shir El Hayom. It's true that this source quotes the information in the name of Rabbi Meir, but it's origin is in Rabbi Akiva. From where do we know that even the unborn in their mother's wombs said Shira during the crossing of the sea at the time of the Exodus from Mitzrayim? Shenemar b'makelos borchu elokim Hashem mimekor Yisrael. So Rabbi Akiva takes that pasuk to mean even the unborn, the fetuses said Shira, and on that occasion. The Idach, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, where does he learn this idea from, that the unborn said Shira? Answer, Mimokor Nafka. The word Mokor in that Pasuk indicates the womb. So both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili see in the Pasuk this idea of the unborn, just that each one emphasizes a different word. One, Rabbi Kiva emphasizes the word Makelos, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili emphasizes the word Mokor. And as we said, the word Mokor in other contexts is a reference to the womb. Omar Rava, Halocha Karevi Akiva. Which means that there will be no distinction whether you have 10 or you've got 10,000, the same expression will be used. Ravina Rav Chama Bar Buzi iklu l'beresh galusa. So these two Rabbonin went to the Resh Galusa's home, the home of the exilarch. Kom Rav Chama v'komahader abei mea. Rav Chama sought out 100 people for the Zimun. Amalei Ravina. Ravina says to Rav Chama, lo tzrichas, you don't need to do that. Hachi amar Rava, halachi Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is the way we go, and Rabbi Kiva indicated that no distinction in the text will be made. So you're not going to gain anything by having a greater number in your Zimun once you reached the basic number of 10. Omar Rava, ki achlinon rifta beresh gulusa. Rava tells us a story that when we were eating in the home of the Resh Gulusa, mevorchinon shlosha shlosha. We used to have a zimun in small groups of three, even though the meals were done and were eaten in the presence of many more. But in terms of the zimun, we made our zimun in groups of three. Let's glance at the Rashi. Mevorchinon tlosa tlosa Resh Gulusa marach besudasa. The Resh Gulusa had a very long meal. Vanan kol shlosha shlosha shigamru sudasan. And when we were in groups of three, we finished our meal. It seems from Rashi that they finished eating before the Resh Gulusa. And so mizamnin b'koil nomuch, we would then have a zimun in a quiet form, quiet fashion. V'yoshvin achra brocha ad shigomar Resh Gulusa. We would continue sitting there until the Resh Gulusa finished his meal. V'yizamnu hu v'yoshmetzel b'kol rom. And then they would have their zimun in a loud, audible form. Well, the common parach, the nefku b'vroch Resh Gulusa, the Gemara will ask later, why not participate in the Resh Gulusa zimun? So the Gemara asks, v'livruchu asor asora, if you were in such a large group of people there, why did you have your zimun in groups of three? You could have had groups of 10 for the zimun, and you would have been able to then pronounce the name of Hashem in that context. So he answers, Shomer Resh Gulusa v'ikpid. The Resh Gulusa would hear that we're not doing the zimun together with him, and he would get upset. Because in a group of 10, in order for everyone to hear an answer, so the tone, the volume would have to be higher than in groups of 3. The Gemara asks, V'nefku b'birchosu de Resh Gulusa. Why not just be part of the Resh Gulusa zimun? So Rava answers, "Aidi the Afshu Kuli Almo Lo Shami." Because it was such a large crowd, we simply wouldn't hear it. It would be pointless for us to wait for the Resh Gulusa and participate in his zimun. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabba Tosfa. Tosfa is part of his name. Hani Shlosha the Karchi Rifta Bahadi Adodi. Three that ate together. The Kodim Chadinayu Uborach Ledate, and one of them got up and. You know, one of them went ahead and said Birchas HaMazon on his own without a zimun. So inu nafkun bezimun didei. The other two, when they come to say their Birchas HaMazon, and this fellow is there, so he will be part of their zimun. In other words, they will be yotze zimun with his participation, with his presence. Inu lo nafik bezimun didhu. However, he, the one who already benched on his own, won't be yotze zimun. In other words, he won't get zimun credit. The fish ain't zimun the mafreya, because you can't have zimun out of order. In other words, you can't, after you said birchas hamazon, you can't then get credit for zimun. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah had added in the word that you say in the Birchasa, in the Brocha, in the Torah, not just Baruch Hu Hashem, but adding the word Hamevorach. So Rafa Bar Prova Iklo Lebe Kinishto the Abe Gub Giber. Abe Giber is the name of a shul. So Rafa went to that shul. Kom Kora Besafra. He received an Aliyah to the Torah, which includes the recitation of a bracha, the Omar, and he said, "Baruchu es Hashem v'ishtik v'lo Omar hamavorach." He said just the first three words, and not the word hamavorach, he remained silent after saying Baruch Hashem, Avshikuli Alma, and all of the tzibor, the congregation started to make noise. Baruch Hashem Hamavorach. In other words, you should add the word Hamavorach to what you are saying. Omar Rava Pasi Uchma Bahadi Plukta Lomalach. So Rava says Pasi Uchma is an expression that sometimes is translated literally as a black pot or a black piece of earthenware, but he says, why do you enter, why do you say something? He said, Baruch Hashem, say something that's controversial. In other words, you should have used Rabbi Yishmael's expression in so far as even Rabbi Akiva agrees that if you say Hamavorach, that's even better. All that Rabbi Akiva was saying in the Mishnah is that you don't need to say it, but if you say it, it's even better. So why are you entering, why are you sticking yourself into the middle of a machlokes? V'oid, and furthermore, ha nohug alma ke Rabbi Yishmael. And furthermore, the minig, the common practice is to say Hamavorach. So on two scores, you did something that wasn't the best thing to do. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let's just glance at the topic heading. Shloshe shochelu yachad einon rashoyim lechalek. Three who ate together, so they cannot split up. That would be breaking a zimun possibility. The Mishnah. Shloshe shochelu keachas einon rashoyim lechalek. Three who ate together cannot split up. V'chein arba v'chein chamisha. Likewise, four and five. If they split up, so there will be those that will not be saying a zimun, and that's improper. Vov, that means shisha, nechlokin, arasora. If you have a group of six people that ate together, so they can divide, provided, of course, they divide in such a way that everyone will still be reciting a zimun, no fraction less than three. Vasora einechlokim ad esrim. If you have a group of 10, so that introduces the possibility of saying the name of Hashem as part of the zimun. So any group less than 10 will be also depriving themselves of that added feature, and hence they cannot divide. So from 10 up till 20, no division. Once you reach 20, so 20 can divide into two groups of 10. Two groups eating in one house. The Tosfos says on this that the idea of one house is not binding. It's not lav dafka. But nevertheless, the Mishnah uses this example. You have two groups that are in one house. Shemiksasan royun elu eselu. That part of one group sees part of the other group. So harei elu mitstarfen lezimun, so they can join up to form a zimun. The imlav, if these two groups do not see each other, so elu mizam laatzmon, the elu mizam laatzmon, then each group will conduct their own zimun. Ein mevorchem al hayayin achitem lesocho mayim. Divrei Belezer, one should not make a brocha on wine until water is added. And of course we're dealing with wine that was very strong. It was undiluted, pure wine. So Rabbi Lezer's opinion that you can't make the brocha until you add water to it. The Chomomrim and Vorach Chomom say that even if it's undiluted, one could still make the brocha. My Komash Malon, what does our Mishnah inform us when it opens up by telling us three that ate together cannot split up? Tanino Chada Zimno, this information has already been taught in Mishnayos. Shloshe she'achlu ka'achas chayavin l'zameh. Three that ate together must say the zimun. So if they're chayav l'zameh, of course they can't split up. Ha Komash Malon. The additional Mishnah teaches us, Ki ha diomar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, like the following, Shloisha shiyosh v'lechol kachas, va'adayin lo ochlu, 3 that sat down in order to eat. In other words, they plan to eat. They're anticipating eating together, and they haven't started eating. They cannot split up. Inami, another possibility of what the extra Mishnah is teaching us. Kiha, you'll notice we skipped the section that we have in parentheses. And this is based on the Girsa that you find in the Bach. So we're picking up second line from the bottom. Inami kiha deravuna amara kiha deravuna deravuna shlosha shabo misholosh chaburos. Three people that came from three different groups. So we have a new group that's formed by three people joining together that had come from three different groups. So Einon Rashoin L'Cholek, they cannot split up. This newly formed group must stay together for a Zimun. Omar of Chistov, V'hu Shebo Misholosh Chaburos Shel Shlosha B'nei Adam, provided they came from three groups that already had a Zimun possibility in them. We'll spend time on the Rashi in trying to understand this particular halacha, and realize that as we go on in the Gemara, this is dealt with and qualified more and more, so that as we continue reading in the Gemara, before we go back to the Rashi, you notice Omar Rava, continuing at the top of Amid Beis, V'lo Amaron Ela Delo Akdimu Hanoch Ve'Azmun Olayu B'duchtayu. This newly formed group that we said must stay together and have their Zimun, this is so provided that the groups that they came from had not already had these people participate in their respective Zimuns. Aval Azmun Alayu B'duchtayu, if these people that formed this new group of three had already participated in a previous Zimun with their original groups, then Porach Zimun Minayu, then their possibility of having a Zimun has literally fluttered away. In other words, they've already done their Zimun service, and they cannot be enlisted for a new Zimun in this new group. And Rava goes on to point out where he knows this idea from. It's a borrowed idea. Mitzvah Hashem will go over this Gemara again, but before we go further, let us go over the Rashi that's found toward the end of the page, the beginning of those first of the wide lines, at the end of the line, Shloshe Shebol Misholosh Chaburos. What we're dealing with, to not forget the flow of the Gemara, is we have what seems to be an extra Mishnah, so it is coming to teach me a new halacha. And what's the new halacha? Three that came, Gimel Shebo Misholosh Chaburos, three that came from three groups, Ukrimisayim Rav Chisda, and as Rav Chisda continues in the Gemara to say, Shebo Misholosh Chaburos Shel Shlosha B'nei Adam B'chol Chabura, they came from three groups of people. In each group there had been three people. In each one of the original groups there have been three people, v'nischayvu elu bezimun, and they thereby had become obligated in a zimun, v'omad echad mikol chabura, and then one from each one of those original groups arose, v'nitztarfu shloshel chabura achas, and they now formed a new group, chayovin lezamein, v'inan roshoyin lechalek shekvar hukbu, they can't split up any further, because they have already become bound to a zimun. Even if, and here's an additional chiddush, and that is that even if these people did not eat together, but they're simply sitting together now, they already finished their meals in their original groups, they nevertheless have to stick together now in their new group and have a zimun. So, and in our Gemara, at the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph, we are showing how the extra Mishnah teaches us this new case of three people coming from original groups, joining together in a group of three, one from each of the original groups. They have to have their own Zimun. And now Rava says, and we're going to go over this again, Omar Rava, the top of Omid Beis, V'lo Amoron El Zalo Achdimu Hanoch V'Azman Alayu B'duchtayu. This new group can have a Zimun, provided that each one of these people in their original groups was not participant in a Zimun. Avol Azman Alayu B'duchtayu, but if they were participants in a Zimun in their original groups, so they're finished. Now, Porach Zimun Minayo, their Zimun possibility no longer exists. Let us look at the Rashi at the top. The law mona el delo ad akdimu hanoch chaburos shepirshu elu mehem. The idea of this newly formed group of having a zimun is only so that there was no zimun in their original groups, the asman alayu dahani, and that wherein these people would have participated in a zimun kagon. And now Rashi gives a concrete example: imhoyu arbo'o b'chol chabura. Let us say, in the original three groups that we refer to, there have been four people in each group. Finishar b'chol achas kidei zimun. Now, when a member of each one of the three groups, each group having four, when one member got up from each group, they left behind three people. Enough for a zimun. These three people that formed the new group, why did they leave their original groups? Because they had to leave early. The original groups were having a longer meal, and these people had to leave early. So we say, okay, so they got up from their three respective groups, formed this new group of three. They didn't hurt anybody by their departure. They left behind three people. And these people who have to leave early will now have a zimun. These are the three early leavers will have their own zimun. Rashi continues, Avol Azman Alayu Dehani Kagon. If these people that form the new group happen to already have been participants in a zimun, Kagon Shnistarfu Elu Imohem Lezimun Kidamor Liel Kurin Lo Mizamner Lov Uborchu Hachaburos. What's the case here? These people were, we'll say, were participants in a zimun, as the Gemara explained earlier, where someone who left a group and they called him to come back. The elu lo hoyu sham elo ad kedei nevorech uboruchu. They were called back, but they remained there only for the opening passages of the zimun, but not for the rest of Birchas Hamazon. The Achshav Heim Boim Levorech. And now these people are coming to have their own Birchas Hamazon. Lo Mezamni. Well, they can't have a Zimun. The Parch Minayu Choyva Zimun. Their Zimun obligation has already been fulfilled by the fact that they had been summoned back to their original groups and were there for the Zimun passage. The Sulo Hodor Alayun. And now that they're ready for their own Birchas Hamazon, the need or the mitzvah of the zimun passage no longer exists. There is a Tosfos that is found on Nun Amud Aleph that deals with this very topic, and since we're learning the Rashi, we just finished learning the Rashi, it's beneficial to see the Tosfos, who says at the end that Rashi doesn't explain the way he does. So in order to contrast the Tosfos' pshat with the Rashi, let us look at the Tosfos at the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph of the Tosfos column. Avol I akdimu v'azminu alayu b'duchtayu pirush she'ochal kol echad me'ashlosha, each one of these three that formed the new group, v'hifsik l'shtayim shoy mesubanimo ad hazon. Each one of these people had been in the middle of a meal with their respective original groups, and they had stopped their meal because they were needed to answer the two others that they had been eating with who finished earlier. So they stopped their meal and participated in the zimun of their friends, and stopped until hazon, until the end of the first bracha of the Birchas Hamazon, Kid Isoliel. They are exempt now from Zimun, and they can split now. And so that's the case that Tosfos says is they had already been participants in Ezimun. For Rashi, lo pirish kain. Rashi's case was different. Rashi described a case where they had left the groups and were called back to be to be there for the groups to say Nevorech and the Zimun passage alone. So the scenario that Rashi presents and the Tosfos presents is a slightly different scenario, but I think that the basic principle is the same, and that this newly formed group are people that had already been active in a previous Zimun concerning the meal that they had eaten. So they cannot now form a new group of three for a Zimun. Let us go back to the Gemara. Now we're at the top part of Omid Beis. Rava, on the third line from the top, says, Omar Rava, Mino Amin Allah. From where do I know that if they had been participants in a Zimun with their original groups, that now that they form this new group, they do not have Zimun anymore? The Snan. And the Gemara brings a basis from a really an outside realm, a foreign realm, if you will. But it's a kind of situation where if the Gemara doesn't do it, it would be hard for us through Svara to do this kind of comparison on our own. He brings a basis for this analysis from Tumas Kalim, the Snan. Mita shenignevo chetzya, a bed. A bed is made of, there are legs to a bed and there's a bed frame. So, the bed was half of a bed was stolen, was dismembered, and a part was stolen. Oisha avdo chetzya, oisha chalku achim oshutvin, a bed that was partially lost or divided between partners. So, tahora. The bed, if it had been tome beforehand, it's now been dismembered, its tuma goes away. Hichziruha, if it's reassembled, we have any of these cases, the ganav returned the item he stole, the thief returned the half he stole, or they found the half that was lost, or the partners rejoined the pieces into forming it into one bed. So mikabelas tuma mikan ve'elech mikan ulahaba. The reassembled bed will be subject to absorbing tuma from this point onwards. And the Gemara infers mikan ulahaba in lafrelo, or we could say Rava infers from this that the Mishnah is saying there is tuma from this point onwards, but there's no retroactive tuma. Alma, what do we see? What principle can we extract from this? Kevon de Palgua, once it was split, Porach lo tuma mina. The tuma that had been upon it left. Hachinami, so too, and here's the amazing connection, Kevon de Azmun Olayu, since these people who formed the new group, they had already been participants in Ezimun, so they finished with the Zimun of their original groups. Porach Zimun Mayo, that's it. There's no more Zimun. So if they get together into a new group of three representatives from each one of their original groups, if they have a new meal together, that's like the bed. When it's reassembled, they'll be Makabal Tumor from this point onwards. But based on the original Zimun requirement that they had, that no longer plays a role. Just like the tuma that was originally on the bed is no longer a factor, even though the bed is now reassembled. As I indicated, it seems la'aniyus daiti that this kind of comparison is something that one, even if he is has vast Torah knowledge, would probably not dream of doing on his own in developing a svara, but since Rava makes this comparison, so the comparison is stated, and one would have to probably research this more and more in order to see how Rava
how Rava actually compared these topics when on the surface they seem to be coming from two totally independent, separate, unrelated realms. Nevertheless, you find this kind of Torah comparison throughout the Shas, where topics are compared, but on one's own, it would be rather difficult to make these comparisons. You find this, for example, extensively in Hilchos Shabbos, where we try to define a vessel, and the definitions of a vessel that are used for Hilchos Shabbos at times overlap with definitions provided for vessels in the realm of Tumah and Tara. Once again, comparing a realm of ritual purity and impurity to issues of functionality vis-a-vis vessels when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. But let us continue with our topic at hand. Shnei Chaburos v'chulei. Our Mishnah said two groups that were eating in the same house. If part of one group's, if the two groups were able to see each other partially, even partially, they join to form a group. Tana, Im yesh shamosh b'neihem, if they don't see each other, but there is a waiter serving the two groups, so shamosh mitzarfon, the waiter joins the two groups together. Rashi says, shamosh mitzarfon, afal pi she'ein elu royin esel, even though the eaters themselves don't see one another, kagon yiriyah prusa b'neihem, imagine a curtain that is divides the room. So each group cannot see one another, but nevertheless there is a waiter that's serving both groups, so they actually form a group, one group for zimun purposes. The Tosfos that we alluded to earlier when we were learning the Mishnah is found here, the second Tosfos on this Omid, Shamash Mitzafon Lezimun, Vuadin B'Shnei Botim, U'Bnei Odom Oimdin Mishamshin Mizu Lezu Mitzafon. Similarly, with regard to two houses, and you have people that are moving between the two groups, serving the two groups, they would join together. V'chein Yisur Yishalmi, U'Bavad Shishmu Brichas HaMozon Mipi HaMavorach. Yushami subscribes to this analysis, provided that they can all hear the one who is reciting the Birchas HaMazon. Let's continue. Mitzvah Hashem, the rest of the Tosfos will feature in our Tosfos Shiur for those who are interested. But in the meantime, let's continue with the Gemara. Ein Mevorchim Al Hayayin. The topic at hand, we have on the outside margin, no say, the sinus mayim l'toch hayayin, the addition of water to dilute the wine. And as we mentioned, we're talking about wine in a pure form, unlike today's commercial wine, which already comes pre-diluted. We're talking here about wine that's in a very pure, concentrated form. Tan Rabbanan, yayin. This Tanaic source has is broken down into two parts initially, concluding in Divrei Rabbi Lezer, and later in the source we see the Chachamim disagree. So we have an opening of this source realizing that it's a point that is, points that are made here are subject to a machlokes. So the source says that regarding wine, until water is added to it, you don't say the bracha of Bori Briya Gefen. And Rashi says, their wine was very intense, and it's not fit for drinking without the adding addition of water. This expression, Ishmael Yusa, is basically like a throwback to the beginning of the sixth perek of Brochus, where the Gemara was dealing with why does wine have a special brocha as opposed to other food items. And one of the sevaros that we saw was that wine, it has a level of improvement. It goes from grapes to wine, hence the brocha will change from Bori Priyates to Bori Priya Gefen, because it has this improvement potential.
But if the wine is so intense that you can't drink it, so it hasn't reached this improved stage, it hasn't then left its original bracha, it's then no different than grapes. It's in its original form. On a practical level, we consider its original form, even though physically it's liquid now. It's in this raw form. It'll be borei priyais, raw form, meaning in its still as yet undrinkable form. It might be interesting just to note parenthetically that Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, historically was known to be a vintner. He had personal expertise in the area of winemaking, and when he describes wine, you can really take it with a sort of personal expertise from someone who was very much involved in winemaking. And it's interesting how Rashi points out it was their wine was very strong, indicating that our wine, that, and Rashi is speaking quite firsthand about this, is not quite that strong. Continuing though in the Gemara, so wine before the water is added, one doesn't make a borei pri hagefen on it, ela borei pri eitz, but not li menu yadayim, and one can actually use it for netilas yadayim, as Rashi says, d'shem mayim alav. The term water, the classification of this liquid as water, remains upon it, d'mei peros ba'amu mikri. It's called simply mei peros, literally the water of fruits. I don't want to use the expression fruit juice because that doesn't connote what we're trying to communicate. We have seen already in the sixth parak that generally speaking, squeezed fruits, if you squeeze an orange or squeeze a pomegranate, the juice that comes forth from that gets a brocha of shehakol niyeh bidvaro because of this classification. It's called mei peros bi'amo, and it doesn't even have the din of fruits on it. It's interesting, in the case of wine, we don't say the same thing, but that's a special reason. There's a special reason for that, and that olives and grapes have a different characteristic about how the juices are stored in them versus other fruits. However, for our purposes, it doesn't go up to a wine category, but remains a mei peros category, enabling it to be used as a means of netilas yodayim. Continuing in the Gemara, mishenasa sochamayim. This is a bit ironic because here, by adding water to it, so we'll see in a minute, you can't use it anymore for netilas yadayim. And in other words, without the water, it's called water. With the water, it's not called water. Just a point of irony, but nevertheless, the logic is very strong here. He says, the source says, Mishanasan l'socha mayim evorchon l'borei b'reitz v'ein notlin mimenu liyodayim divrei Rabbi Lezer. When water is added to this, to what was originally this intense wine concentrate, so with the water added, now it becomes drinkable. Now you make your borei priyo gofen, as Rashi said. Now because it's ishtani l'muyusa, it's improved, and hence it gets the higher quality concentrated brocha borei priyo gofen, and you don't use it anymore for netilas yadayim. V'chachomim oimrim bein kach ubein kach mevorchen olov borei priyo gofen v'ein notlin heimenu liyodayim. The chachomim say whether the water is added or not, it has borei priyo gofen, and you do not use it for netilas yadayim. Keman azla ha diomar Shmuel. The Gemara wants to know, Shmuel, who was an Amora, says a point, and we want to know, like which Tanaic authority does Shmuel's point go? What does Shmuel say? Oysa adam kol tzrocha v'pas, that one can do anything, his personal needs, he can do with a loaf of bread. In other words, even though it's food, it's designated as a food item, nevertheless, you can use it for other things other than eating alone. So who in the realm of Tanoim would echo that sentiment? Answer, Keman Kerebi Eliezer. Rashi, Kerebi Eliezer, Deomar, Notlen, Hemenu, Liodayim, Velo, Chayesh, Lehevsit, Oichlen. Rebi Eliezer indicated the use of the wine for Netilas Yodayim. In other words, if we're speaking about Rebi Eliezer, we have to say the wine in the potential, because before the water was added, so it had the potential of becoming classified as wine with a bori pri gefen. It wasn't quite that yet, because the water wasn't added to it. But nevertheless, Rebbe Elazar says, okay, before the water is added, use it for netilas yadayim, and we're not worried about the fact that you won't be able to drink it anymore after you wash your hands with it. It's finished. It spills out and it's gone. It was could have been used for food. We're not worried about that. We're not choshish for hefsid oichlin. So too, the use of the bread for any of your purposes. It might not be able to be eaten anymore, but that doesn't bother us. There is, by the way, there's quite a bit more on the topic of Hefsid Ochlin, especially in the realm of bread, but we will wait for the Gemara later to discuss that topic. The Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, Moidim Chachomim Reb Lezer, Bekois Shel Brocha, the Chachomim, who had appeared in the Tanaic source just a couple lines up, disagreeing with Rebbe Elazar, will concede to Rebbe Elazar, because shel brocha, with regard to a cup of wine that you're using for things like Kiddush or Berchas HaMazon that's recited over a cup of wine, and other prayers that are recited while holding a cup of wine, that's a kois shel brocha. She'ein mevorchen olav, one will not use a cup of wine ad shiyitei l'sochamayim, until the water is added. My time, why will they concede in that case? Amar Rav Hoshaya, ba'inon mitzvah min amuvchar, that when performing an additional mitzvah with the wine, in other words, beyond just drinking it because you happen to enjoy or you're thirsty for the beverage, but you're using the wine in an additional mitzvah context, the Rabbanan agree that it should be done with the choice way, the best way, and they agree that if the water is added, it's better than being intense and practically undrinkable. The Rabbonon Lamai Chazi, the Rabbonon who said you make Bori Pri Gefen on the undiluted wine, what is undiluted wine useful for? In other words, it would appear from this question that if you're going to say Bori Pri Gefen, you're going to be drinking it, but on the other hand, it's so intense and it's undrinkable. Where do you have undiluted wine that is in fact consumed? So Amar Rabbi Zeiro Chazi Lekuraiti. Rashi says, Kuraiti, he gives us a French word for that, Bloshon Chachomim, Anomalis Va'alontis. These are, let's say, wine combination beverages that one will use in their preparation, in the preparation of the Anomalis or the Alontis, they will use undiluted wine. So if one is going to drink wine in this anamolis or alontis form, he will make a bori pri gefen, even though it's undiluted, but nevertheless, it is drunk under those circumstances. Tono Rabbanan. Arba dvorim nemru bepas. The source, or the topic heading on the side of our Gemara that we've written for this section is under the Nosei heading, L'snaig b'kovod l'mozon, to treat food with dignity. Ein zorken es hapas v'chule, for example, one should not toss bread. Let's see more about this in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, arba dvarim nemru b'pas. 4 points are made with regard to bread. Ein menichin bosur chai al hapas. One should not place raw meat on bread. V'ein ma'avirin kois mole al hapas. One should not pass over some bread a cup that is filled to the brim. The fear is that it will spill on the bread and the bread will be ruined. V'ein zorken es hapas. One should not throw bread. V'ein somchen es hakorah hapas. And one shouldn't balance a bowl on top of bread. You have three Rabbonim eating a meal together. That's Koch Rifta Badi. They literally, they broke bread together. They had a meal together. Aisu Kamayu Tamri Vimoni. They were served some dates and pomegranates. Shokol Marzutra Posuk Lukamei Rav Ashi Distana. Marzutra took and a portion. Now the term Distana, Rashi says, Monashal Basar Mavushal, a portion of cooked meat. He took a portion of cooked meat and threw it toward him. Omarlei, so Ravashi says, Lo Sover, Lo Mor, Lo Ha, Desanya, do you not hold from the following? Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, triangles appearing in two directions. Kushios, Bishnei Kivunim, Be'inyan, Zrikas, Mazen. We'll be asking questions, but the questions will be going in two directions regarding the throwing of food. So Ravashi, who was the receiver of this thrown distanoth, this thrown portion of meat, he says, do you not hold Lahadisanya Ain Zorkanas Ochlan? One should not throw food. So Marzutra, who did throw the meat, he said, Haiba Pas Tanya, the prohibition of the negation of throwing food is in the context of bread. V'ha tanya, but is it not taught kishen shein zokenes apas kach ein zokenes ochlin? Just like one should not throw bread, one should not throw food, and you're throwing me a portion of meat. Amalei, so Marzuchel says back, v'ha tanya, but is there not a source that says afal bishen zokenes apas avol zokenes ochlin? That even though one does not throw bread, one is allowed to throw food, and there's nothing wrong with what I did. Ela lo kashya. Well, it would seem that these sources are contradictory. Says the Gemara says no. Ha b'midi de mimis, ha b'midi de lo mimis. If it's something that through throwing it, it will become ruined, it'll be crushed or splatter in throwing it, so then it's forbidden to throw it. However, something whose form is not ruined in the throwing, it remains intact, there's nothing that becomes disgusting about it, so then it's okay. Rashi says the lo mimis, and he gives examples, rimon ve'egos v'chol dover kosha, the pomegranate or a nut or anything that's hard. We'll have to assume here the same was the case of this portion of meat, tossing a roasted steak. If that was the portion of meat that was thrown, also nothing really happens to it in throwing it. It's a solid type of substance. It doesn't crumble or become disgusting just by being thrown. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source that deals with using food in a non-eating context. Mamshichin yayin betzinoros lifnei chosuf lifnei kala. Let's glance at the Rashi, what is being done here. Mamshichin yayin betzinoros, mishum simen toiv. Have to imagine drawing, let's say, wine in tzinoros, literally, or tubes or straws. V'ein kan mishum bizoyen v'hefset. V'fishim mekablen oison b'roish pi hatzinor b'kli. If my understanding is correct, the practice was after one had some wine in a straw, so one would blow the wine out of the straw, sort of creating a type of what we'll call fountain phenomenon, and the wine, as Rashi says, would be received. It wouldn't be just blown through from the straw on splatter on the ground, but it was blown and then received in a receiving vessel. And so this was done in front of a bride, in front of a chosin, a groom, a kala, in front of a bride. And this was a type of simen tov, Rashi says. The zorkin lifneim, another practice they would throw in their presence, kloyus ve'goizim, b'moisacham v'loy moisach shomim. They would throw kloyus or roasted grains and egozim nuts in the summertime, but not in the winter. In the summer, so there was, and featuring, of course, an Eretz Yisrael climate situation where the seasons are very distinct. The summer season there is no rain, and the winter season there is hopefully rain. So in the summer season there's no mud, so that these food items would not get ruined in the mud. However, in the winter season they would become ruined by let's say, hitting the floor that's muddy. However, cakes, gluskos, like baked goods, should not be thrown, not in the winter and not even in the summer, because when they are tossed and hit the ground, they get ruined. Omar of Yehuda, Shochach v'hichnis oichlin sopiv b'lo brocha. This is a new topic. On the side under our no say heading, we've written Shochach v'hichnis mazon tov b'lo yilvarech, someone who put food in his mouth without having made a brocha beforehand. Obviously, that is a mistake. What should one do? So our Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, Shochach v'hichnis oichlin sopiv b'lo brocha, misachon letzad echad u'mevarech. The food should be move to one side of his mouth, and with the food in his mouth, he then makes a bracha. That's a very, let's say, partial exposure to this particular halacha. And the Gemara will make things much clearer as we go along. Tanya chala bolon, v'tanya idoch polton, v'tanya idoch misakon. You have three Tanaic sources. The first one, number one, bolon, swallow it without making a bracha. Source number two, polton, spit it out. V'tanidoch misalkon. The third source reflects what Rav Yehuda said, move it to one side of your mouth. Lo kashya, these three sources are not arguing or contradicting one another. Ha desanya bolon, the source that says swallow it. B'mashkin, a person had put, let's say, some beverage in his mouth, and he didn't make a brocha. So, what do you do now? Just swallow it. You can't move it to one side of your mouth. You won't be able to make a brocha with it in your cheek, and you're not expected to just spit it out. It gets ruined that way. V'ha desanya polton, the source that number two that says spit it out, b'midi delomimis, something that by taking it out of your mouth doesn't get ruined. It's in other words, by having it put in your mouth and then taking it out, it remains pleasant and edible just the same. And number three, v'hadesan misalkon, that which is taught, move it to one side of your mouth, that's b'midi demimis, something that by after being put in your mouth and you're taking it out, it will appear disgusting. The Gemara asks b'midi delomimis at the top of daf nun aleph amid aleph. What about something that it might be something like imagine a hard candy. Something like that, why not just leave it in your mouth and move it to the side and make the bracha with the hard candy on one side of your mouth? Why do we say regarding something like that you have to take it out of your mouth? So the Gemara asks, let's read that line again at the top of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph, B'midi lo mimis nami l'slikinu l'tzad echa d'livruch. Move it to one side of your mouth and make the bracha instead of removing it from your mouth. The Gemara answers: Tirgamo Rav Yitzchok Kaskisa Kamei Rav Yosi Bar Ovin Mishmei Rav Yochanan Mishum Shenemar. So Rav Yitzchok Kaskisa explains based on the pasuk that says Yemalei Pi Tilosecha, that your mouth shall be filled with the praise of Hashem. In other words, there should be nothing else in your mouth when you're saying the praise of Hashem. So, of course, in the context of our Gemara, that's where that is possible. So then, remove it from your mouth and say the bracha, and then put it back in. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.